This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. In the performing arts industry in Malaysia, it would be a stretch to name companies that can celebrate their existence in decades. A few years ago, Five Arts Centre celebrated its 30th anniversary. Next year, Actors Studio will be doing the same. There are other companies who fall into this honourable category. Dharma Orchestra, Sutra House, Temple of Fine Arts. This year, Hands Percussion is celebrating its 20th anniversary and will be sending itself off into the next decade with a big, big bang in a concert called Percussion Paradise. Bernard Goh, as the founder and artistic director of Hands Percussion, how do you feel walking this performing arts path for more than two decades? Easy path, right?
Yeah.
For you, everything looks so shiny and bright and wonderful.
Not really, you know.
Not really,
Sun-Heng. Yeah. But for me, it's a blessing for us to cannot realize, sustain for 20 years. But along the way, I think I have to thank all many people that supported us. We started as a bunch of drummers, Chinese drummers that were like to bang around and then, you know,
bang around.
I wonder what you bang
besides drums.
Yeah. So because we are very new then, it's very crucial sometimes if you're not controlled enough, right? People will consider us as a percussionist is a noisemaker. You know, it's a noisemaker. So along the way, I think we have some strategy we can share with the people. It's because we have set up kind of like management, like the strategy director, the administrative director. And then we work very closely with our sound engineer, with our lighting designer. It's like a family. And then it's very blessed is because I started in school. So all my students now, the core team, actually, they started very young, like 8 years old with me.
So you did not start as a drumming group for Chinese New Year, dragon dance, lion dance?
It's not dragon or lion dance. Actually, it's Chinese drum troupe. You are right. We started there because 1988, that is a trend, you know, it's a new trend of Chinese drum playing called 24 Festive Drum. We started from there. So from there, actually, we found our passion in percussion, and then we found the diversity and then the beauty, you know, of all the percussive instrument in Malaysia and Southeast Asia. So we have a goal we want to explore. So that's why we set up like Hands Percussion to really pull in all the elements that we have, and then we learn from our guru. Because I think back in the 90s, we learned tabla, you name it, tabla, gendang, rebana, ubi, and then kompang, and then even like conga, djembe, you know.
So festive drums, you incorporated Malaysian instruments or traditional instruments.
Yes.
When you had this group, how did you sustain it? Did you send them out to teach or were you engaged for activities in terms of, like, say, Chinese New Year, you go drumming? How did you sustain it?
I can't say it's a corporate gigs. It's some shows that we already committed with some corporate. And then, of course, we teach in school. This is very important. We started from there.
Education
is very important. As I mentioned earlier in other interviews, you see, 20 years or 30 years ago, right, no one will buy tickets to come and see a drum show. So we cultivate a big group of audiences. They really support, you know, they want to come for a drum show. They sit and then watch the drums perform. Yeah.
Does working with students and then having a show make it more commercially viable in the sense that when you have students performing, their parents will want to see them?
It's the same, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like a dance school or so, you know. When your kids, you know, having this ballet, you would like to go. Your grandpa, grandma, auntie, uncles will come. But for us, I think it's another way of approaching it because this is a cultural thing. We started a Chinese culture because this is a Chinese drum, but slowly I want to make it into a Malaysian culture. So all the race can come because drum in a universal language, you know, that's how we get started. But we struggle with space also because we are not dancing group or like, you know, some music group. We are drum group.
So your drums are big.
Yes, we need big space and then we need a place where we can really make noise. won't disturb the others. This is a tough one.
You cannot do it in Taman Tun.
Yes, absolutely cannot. So yeah, we started in UE3. Now it's Viva Home. Last time it's a kind of like very quiet place. We started there, our very first studio and then very first office. Then end of 2008, we moved to Sungai Buloh, the factory area. I think with the help of parents of a student, my drummers as well, now actually is my core team members. It's my full-time players also. Yeah.
I guess in an industrial area, yes. You fit in quite well with all the noise.
Yes, exactly. You know. So that's one thing is challenging. And then, of course, the people, of course, the players. And then, you know, the commitment of the players. Because nowadays, my team got early 40s, 30s, 20s. So the gap is quite big. So the thing, the thoughts, you know, and then their way of like, you know, I mean, it's different. The way of perspective, like
good or no good?
Challenging. The worst actually is challenging. It's not like good or bad, you know, because sometimes the young ones, they are very talented. They want to do new things. But sometimes the basic is not there. They want everything instant, very fast. They want to see the result fast, you know. So for performances, no shortcut. You need to train, you know, you need to sit down, read the books. Even though performers, you need to open up sometimes, not only like acting or playing your skill or technique. So it's beyond that. So yeah, it's very challenging these 20 years. And then, of course, surviving financially because we are self-funded. So we need to plan ahead, you know, maybe half a year ahead, how to plan for your gigs or your show, overseas shows, local, and then do the show that we want to promote this performing art. And then, of course, we will have a workshop for public, and then we will have some collaboration, and then we need to set this goal for ourselves. Like every year, you have to go overseas at least once for the members to look at what thing is happening. Maybe it's the festival, maybe it's the other country theatre.
So when you go to a festival, you also make time for your members to see, not just go there, perform, rush in, rush out.
No, not really. For instance, this May, actually, we're in London. So we spend time in museum also. But some of them really don't like it. But I will explain, you know, as an artistic director, it's like, what is the must? Because I'm artist-based. My major actually is painting. So it's very important to open up. I think you need some plans and then some guide, you know, for the young ones now. After a while, they would say, like, you know, why I want to go for a museum or I want to look at this arts gallery because I'm a performing art. I want to watch shows. I just want to watch shows. That's all. I want to go to like the Lion King. It's good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that is muscle.
You can develop that what's in your head. Yeah, ideas, exposed to ideas that are visual, but not necessarily from your discipline.
Exactly.
You have a Team A and a Team B.
Now, Team C is coming.
Oh, Team C. Now, the Team A are your full-timers, right?
Yes.
Do they teach or do they just perform?
Some of them, my principal, actually, this year, it's not force him. I want him to teach. It's because I have this feeling. Because when you perform for maybe a year, 2 years already, you need a break. You need a break to get contact with kids, with students, with adults. You know, all the thought that you think is good, the performing, right? Something you will really apply on how you explain to let people understand you. I think you must have that break. If you are a full-time trainer, drum trainer or coach, right? After a period of time, you need to come back to perform also. Need to get the balance.
Well, it seems to me that you have a succession plan. You have a plan to keep this company going even after you are gone. Not that I'm saying we're going to be going away anytime soon.
I mean, this is what's supposed to be. I always say, hands percussion not belongs to me. It belongs to the society, to Malaysia. Because when, let's say, artistic director do something else, right? Good company or a well-established or a very well-planned one, that will sustain. Maybe the direction is different. Maybe you change your artistic director, right?
Sure.
The direction will change. But the sustainability must be there.
Talking about artistic director, you have assumed at the start of this year being the artistic director for DPAC.
Yeah.
And one of the initiatives that's being executed right now is this space sponsorship done by DPAC. It didn't start with you.
Yeah.
It was started, I think, 2 years or a year or so ago. Mm-hmm. But you are carrying on with it.
Yeah. For performing arts, we need space. We need to put up our show. This is one thing. But I think a platform to share. I find it very interesting because my show cannot do it there because my drum is so
too big.
So I like to have some plans or some project where they can continue doing it. Like the DNA, the next artist project. I think it's a very good project. It started like, you know, before me. But it created a platform for the young one to create. But now I think the lacking of the project actually is a good curator for the young director, young actor, young musician. So now I'm headed about that one. I think it's very important. I want to do long-term things, not really one shot. Like people apply for the space. Okay, we think it's good. But do we have the right to really correct them when we see something wrong? But my side is more on the music side. So I need someone from the theater, someone from the dance, you know, to create this platform to make it kind of like really can see the result.
So you're not just there to say, okay, Deepak will sponsor the space. You apply and I give you the space.
Now, actually, yes, it's good. Don't get me wrong, it's good. But I think you need to really like plan properly, you know, what's the strategy to doing this. Actually, sponsor, very simple, you know, because you want to apply, then I give you a sponsor. So we have a panel of like, you know, this is good, this is bad, and then that's it. But what it brings to the impact. So I always say that, you know, you need a long-term plan for an actor, maybe training program. You agree with me, right? But music, a lot of people are doing it, you know, MPYO. Parents will send their kids to the music school. But ensemble. So I just finished one Spectrum last weekend. It's a week of music appreciation night. So we have Chinese instrument, we have the string quartet, we have WVC, Zhexiang, and then we have Su Yin. Su Yin actually is a percussion reciter.
Yes, yes.
So people will be like, oh my God, Deepak is doing this. And, yeah, why not? I said, you know, I mean, it's open up, you know, people can find this place, right? I want to hang out. I want to see different kind of like, you know, performances. I can get new experiences. Yeah.
I'm speaking with Bernard Goh, a man who wears many hats. A musician, artistic director of two different organizations, the Damansara Performing Arts Center and a performance group, Hands Percussion. And of course, he's also a trend-setting fashionista.
No.
Yes, always with stylo Milo clothes, you know. Coming up, Hands Percussion 20th Anniversary Celebration Performance, Percussion Paradise, which will be happening a week from this Saturday on September 30th. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. I'm speaking with Bernard Goh, the artistic director and founder of Hands Percussion, a performing group that is celebrating its 20th anniversary. There have been performances all year long, and it is culminating its celebration with Percussion Paradise happening Saturday, September 30th. Bernard, we have talked about the space sponsorship under the hat that you are wearing as the artistic director of Deepak. You have mentioned that, yes, you want to move forward into curating performances. But what has this sponsorship of space got to do with curating theatre, curating dance? Because right now, based on my understanding of your sponsorship, it's like people apply.
We just give.
You just vet it and then yes or no, right?
Yeah, that's what they did. But it's very clear, you know, something. If you ask me this question, is like, why it's so important? Is because there's a lot of young talents in this performing arts stream, but they are hunger for a space. So I think it's very clear that we need that kind of support for the young performing arts. We need to have a very good curator. But it's kind of like hard. Sometimes they will say like, you just sponsor me the space, isn't it? What is it to do with you, you know, my work? I just want to create. I want to perform. I want to do the play. I think you know, sometimes you went for a show, right? You say like, oh my God, very talented actor, but the script, you know, they write their own script. They have to be kind of like encouraged. But the program, the whole thing, I think we need someone to really look at it. So it's because we're giving up this sponsorship for young performers to apply or directors to apply is because we need to inject to this industry. This is very clear. Yeah.
So when they apply for this sponsorship, you will start talking to them about, okay, let me see your show. I'm going to make this suggestion. Maybe you should not be doing this. You should be doing that. Is that what you're going to be doing?
Yeah. This is a tough one because I'm new. I'm new. So when they did that, sometimes we have a lot of discussion. It's like, I think this is very potential. But some of our panel will say like, no, it can't be. This is very bad. You know, the directing is very bad. I say, look at the script, you know, maybe it's not well executed. So for me now, I need to have a group of like panel that really stand for like drama and then dance and then music for next year. For this coming October, where we open up for them to apply, yeah.
Then you will start vetting. So this is one of the conditions then, that you will not only bring them into the performance space, but you will also have some dialogue with the groups themselves.
Yes, exactly, Suning.
Okay, I can understand why some on the panel would just say, look, this is artistic interference.
Okay, you mentioned that.
Okay, let's talk about your Percussion Paradise. Yeah, yeah, I love that. I love your poster.
Oh, thank you.
But there's something always about your shows, though. The production values are very high, right from the word go, from the poster to the show itself.
You.
And I want to ask you one question before we talk about this. I saw your Nomads.
Okay.
Wind of Nomads, right? Now, the performers were supposed to be like on sand, right? You created a sand with lights and all that.
Okay.
Somebody and I, we were debating that have real sand would really work.
Yeah.
Then another person said, no lah, Bernard Goh, his artistic vision, it has to be clean. So no real sand, because real sand would also absorb the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So
that show actually, initially, yes, we planned to have sand on stage.
I was right.
Yeah, you're right. You know, at the very beginning, but because of the venue, because of the instrument, even though we already bought, you know, we already bought the sand, art sand, not the real sand we get from some, you know, construction site, but that is art sand, but it still have that dust.
Mm.
So we can't really like afford for that things to go into our marimba, balafone, those like instrument. It will be a big, big problem for us. And then we need to clean the venue, even for the seat, for the lights. There's tons of work to do.
The cost would be quite high.
So yes, that time Olivia's still in Philadelphia. So I call him every night and discuss about this, because we love our idea of having sand, you know, but we need to really like, you know, let it go. But we want to create that hot, that kind of like, you know, I mean, desert light. So we try and use the light. But for you said like, you know, I mean, I'm very clean. No. Not necessarily like, you know, the stage. It's how we want to get that message out from that show. So, yeah, I will get okay with it, you know. So there's a lot of changes, this show. A lot of changes.
Yeah, because I saw a show that used real sand at Deepak last year.
Yeah.
From a group from Hong Kong.
And then KL Pack also. It's a Chinese play. I think you are there also. I
cannot remember.
Pandastu. But that's need a lot of work, lah. But I'm happy, you know, I'm happy because I can't afford to pay that, you know. I
mean, cleaning.
Yes. It's very, very, very high. Yes.
Okay. Percussion Paradise. I assume because you are celebrating 20th anniversary, there will be some things that are traditional and then some things moving forward.
Yeah. 4 years ago, we set the goal, like, you know, trending percussive music, the next. We call the concert the next. So we collaborate with some artists, you know, traditional artists, and then some very legendary guitarists, you know. But last year, when we have this brainstorm of this coming up show, my members, principal, and the core team members say, like, sir, we would like to give a gift to celebrate our 20th anniversary. So we like to compose. How can you turn them down? You can't say no, isn't it? So this sixth chapter of the Percussion Paradigm, actually, we are really like, you know, I mean, go into like, what is paradigm means to you? So all of them, six of the composers, they will say like, where we can drums, then it's paradise, no matter where we are. So it's quite happy and then quite like, you know, I mean, for me, kind of like, you know, proud, you know, so for them. Like, they've been with me for over 20 years. So yeah, but this year, early of this year, I think after Chinese New Year, thing getting tough is like, okay, you look at their composition, you see here and there, they want to do this, they are too ambitious sometimes, you know. So, but I think this show is really like features what they learn within this year. okay, what they learn from their tabla teacher, what they learn from their marimba teacher, from Olivier djembe, from the Balinese gamelan teachers, you know, whereby Sudi, Mr. Sudi, our gamelan teacher, will come next week, okay, to not perform on stage, because he don't want to perform on stage, he just want to check the composition. So I think it's one thing I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud of them. And then every chapter have a different kind of like message. One is like Jia Mao. Jia Mao is one of my leader. He said for him, being a Chinese drum player, he's very proud of. Even though now he's a marimba player, he played very well in the marimba also. But he said he want to create a piece. Very Chinese-based. I said, okay. Then our Jimmy, our principal, he want to explore about the time signature. Like someone is playing like 3-4, someone is playing 4-4, one is 6-8, one is together. So then can you imagine? So it's quite experiment. But me as an artist writer, sometimes it's getting like headache. Because I say, folks, you see, this is a plenary hall now, 3,000 seater. If you want to go like experimental theatre, right, sometimes if small, cozy, then you can do it. So how I fine-tuned it, so I lost my voice.
Shouting over the drums.
Yes, yes, I don't have, you know, really like, you know, the time to really like look at other things. But it will be a kind of like, you know, I mean, for audience, for our supporter and fans, this is a brand new page, because I really let go for them to create. Even a very young one, you know. The youngest one composed in 24 years old, like Leong Ho. Leong Ho is doing a piece on making a twist on the Malay instrument. Malay percussive instrument. Gompang, Jido, Rebana, you name it, you know. And then the teacher yesterday sit for our rehearsal and say, I want to join. Because he feel very, very happy. Because he never see, I mean, the Gompang playing this way. So I think it's very, very good, you know, like paradise. So people will get to see, you know, what is inside their head. Not only me, yes.
Percussive instruments are still very much a part of hands percussion.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself evolving to a point that, I don't know, somebody will look and say, hands percussion, huh? Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, it's all these festive drums. Now the drums have disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going and where can you go without losing your identity?
I think it's very clear. It's like, let's say the previous one, we still drum. Now still drum, even though we move. We move like a dancer because we like to dance. Because in Chinese, we say ku, 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 actually it's drums. Wu, actually it's dance. Always linked together. You know, always linked together. And then how it gets started 30 years ago, this festive drama is because of a dance competition. So when it started, that is already started that kind of like, you know, gel, the dance and the drum and the beat, you know. I not very agree about like, you know, I mean, the drum is like missing. Because movement is very important for a performing group, you know. Because we not consider us as a musician, sit down and create music. But of course, 11 years ago, when I first brought in the gamelan, and then last year, we first really like get into this Balinese gamelan, is totally different. So we still very, very focused on percussive instrument, Southeast Asia. So we never lost touch in the drums. So that is one thing I need to emphasize.
And the performative part stems from the fact that the dancing, the movement is necessary because you are performing on stage.
Yeah.
It's not like an orchestra.
No.
You are a dance troupe, musicians all roll into one.
Let's discuss a bit, you know, about like, you know, people say, oh, are you going for dance or not? But at the very early stage, you know, I already have dance teacher to come in to check with us, you know, so that we can move. We can't say like we can dance, but okay, I mean, it's very, very happy and blessed and, you know, I mean, be proud of. Next year, now I can't say the name of the dance group, but they came for Wind of Nomad. Now we have a collaboration. So next year, we will say like, you know, God bless, we will perform in Esplanade with the Singapore dance group.
Great.
They want to find a group of musicians where they can move. Because they don't want to ask a group of musicians that create the music and compose the music so that they can dance on it. So it's very clear, like, this director. Yeah.
When are you going to incorporate theatre people?
Always. No, I always have like theatre teacher to coach us. Yeah.
By that, I mean that I have not seen like speaking parts in your show.
Yeah. That is something that I not dare to go or explore first, but maybe with your help. Slowly, I think, you know, because it's the part of the performing. You need to express yourself, you know. Some of them are not really good at, like, speaking, you know, but I think because just now we mentioned about teaching, right, they need to really pull out how to communicate with the kids. Like, these few weeks, right, I started coaching the refugee kids, you know. So the only languages is English. So my boys all are a very good coach, you know. But sometimes, in English, sir, I say, yeah. Oh, my God. So there will be like, you know, I'm sweating, few days of like insomnia. They have to prepare, you know, how to teach, how to deliver the speech, you know, to the kid. I say, come on, relax. Just enjoy. Sometimes body language will do already, yeah.
For this performance, Percussion Paradise, you have Sun Yin kept playing. And then you also have Mat Din.
Mat Din, yes, the Malay drum teacher.
And then from Norway.
Norway, yes, my fellow friends. You know, we had them like a few years ago, but it's their composition. So this time, a few weeks back, when I called to Norway, the leader of the group, Thomas, I said, Thomas said, like, oh, Bernard, let me know which composition or which pieces you need us to practice and bring it over. I say, Thomas.
No.
This time,
can you
play our pieces, you know, from our musical director, Siu Siu? They were so excited. They say, oh, very well. Okay, good, good, good. We want to try that also. So that's why I think it's something where we evoke. We really proceed into another level. So my musical director is very kanchong, you know. I can say that word. You know, it's only that word can express, you know, how she felt now. Now she's rehearsing. I just came from there. So now she's rehearsing, yeah.
When you say they play your composition, does that mean that they will be playing what was originally written for your festive drums? No.
No.
Okay.
So particular Siu Siu, that piece, actually we have marimba, vibraphone, we have tom, triple tom, we have gamelan, we have Balinese gamelan, we have Chinese drum, Malay drums, and then of course we will have tom-tom, yes, tom-tom, and then cowbell. So we have a bit of like the bell. So it's very Western. So that composition, I think, is bring hands percussion to another kind of... I can't say this is a level there, but we break the boundaries, right? You know, we read notes also. Because these 2 years, actually, we're having classes with Suin. So Suin is well-trained and back from the state. So I want my members to really can read notes, but can play by ears also. So that's the versatility of my members.
Is hands percussion playing with Sisu?
Yeah.
Or are they playing just your compositions? They are performing your piece and hands percussion is not on stage with them?
Together.
Together?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be interesting.
It's already done, you know. I mean, they perform their pieces. It's a trio, you know. Three of them on stage. And that was already in our Kaleidoscope Drumming Festival 3. So this time round, we already sent our composition, we sent our score to them. So they practice there. And then when they arrive, 26... we will have intensive rehearsal with them. So that's our initial idea. Yeah.
Well, Bernard, we could talk on and on and
yes,
on and on, right?
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Sun Hing.
Hands Percussion Paradise will take place in the Plenary Hall, KL Convention Centre, Saturday, September 30th at 3 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. Tickets are priced from RM78 to RM228. You can book your tickets at AirAsia, R-E-D, red, TIX.com. All in one word, go to Hands Percussion Facebook page for details. It's going to be something quite wonderful.
Yes.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.